Welcome to the SMI Podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Bader. On today's episode, we are talking about what could be a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for students in our music department. In May, there'll be a free concert that has a piece that is composed just for South Milwaukee, and it is combined with a multimedia presence that you wouldn't normally consider to be part of a musical performance. And it's a combined effort between the orchestra, the choir, our art department, and these outside partners. And also has some alumni sprinkled in kind of a big way, because it's based on a poem of a 2024 grad. So here to talk about it is Amy Swanson. We got her in her music room. Stay tuned. Check, check, check. Yep, they're both working. Okay. So, Amy Swanson, tell me about what this big production is in May. What is it?
So, we have commissioned the composer Zachary Moore to write a piece for our band, choir, and orchestra, and it's three movement work. And it is to celebrate, it's multifaceted. One, it's to end the 20th year celebration of this PAC and our new building. It's the anniversary from 20 years ago when it was built and opened up. Two, the work celebrates what art does to humanity. Part of the reason why we have this PAC is because there was a referendum that the community passed that said they wanted a professional performing arts center in this community. And so this is celebrating the community's support of music education and of art and theater and all of that. It's pretty South Milwaukee driven in that the composer really worked with us to make sure that this was tied to us, to our hometown. Last year, we had the big Music to Move Us Forward concert where one of the people we highlighted was Father Grappi. And his wife, who was just an equal person who made sure that fair housing was pushed forward and put into law, Margaret Rosga, she came to that concert. She is a Wisconsin Poet Laureate. So we followed up with that concert and had her come in and help our students write poetry for what music does, what dance does, and what art does for them. So our first movement actually is poetry written by Genevieve Schramm, who is an alumni to our district, and it's called Alive. The first movement is about present and what music does for us. The second movement will incorporate some body percussion and dance so that it highlights what dance does. And they had, when Margaret Rosga came, the students came up with this idea of past, present, and future. So they starting in the present with their music. They're hearkening back to their ancestors and to dance and all of these things that dance does for us throughout history and now. And future is painting our future forward. What kind of place do we want this to be? How can art, with a big A, help us get there? The cool thing about movement three, so movement one is our poetry, it's phenomenal. Movement two is incorporating dance and movement. And the third movement is about art. The poetry that we chose was written by James Weldon Johnson, the same person who wrote Lift Every Voice and Sing. And it's called Before a Painting, and it's about how this one piece of art just encaptures a person and they're not able to move and are almost having a spiritual experience with this art that is changing them just by looking at it. We have also hired for that third movement a company called Ion Music and Mosaic Software, where they have taken our artwork, some of our artwork from our art students, and animated it to our score. So they created the storyline that went with the poetry and is timed to our score. Now, in the past, when there's a when people are trying to mix digital and live performances, the conductors had to have a click track in their ear so that they can stay on time. But the cool thing about Ion Media and the Mosaic software program is that we gave them our score. They built this video to go with this piece, and the software allows us to speed up or slow down the time of that video to keep it with us in our live performance. So we don't have to be stuck to this click track. Emotionally, we are allowed to move a little bit faster or a little bit slower, depending on how we're feeling and what we're doing that day.
So someone's playing the video,
playing the computer.
As an instrument,
which is phenomenal. And it's been my dream since I was in college. I thought, wouldn't it be so cool if we could have visual art live at the same time as music is going? And then when I was helping develop the music standards for Wisconsin, I sat with a friend and we had coffee and we were talking about a lot of the national standards kept saying that music technology was a tool. And we were like, no, it's going to be an instrument. And now it has come to fruition. So literally all my dreams have come true in movement number 3, because I had envisioned this in college. And then I kept talking about, we changed some of the wording from national to Wisconsin, talking about how technology is an instrument, not just a tool. And that's movement 3. So the entire band, orchestra, choir is celebrating what art and music and dance do, and it's called One Art with a big A. And we're also working with the art department, so not all of the paintings and sculptures were able to get into a 4-minute video that told the story and matched with the poetry, but there will be an art gallery beforehand, and we'd really like the patrons who are coming to this concert to spend time looking at all of these creations, either before the concert or even after the concert. So we'll have an art gallery setting for all of them there as well.
So I'm sensing a theme, 2 years in a row now, a culminating project in May that has a big community aspect, brings in multiple things, like last year.
That was in February, but yes. Yes.
Right, because it was Black History Month.
Yes.
Part of the theme. Right. I remember now. Is that just is the second half of the year just the time that it takes to pull this together? Is it the students have matured in your classes to the point that they're ready for it? What makes it kind of a second half of the year kind of thing?
That's a very insightful question. We wouldn't be ready to do this in an October situation. We're learning new students. We're building on the skills from last year. You had the summer pause. It could possibly be something that would be done in December. That would be a pushing a timeline. But yes, this has to be the end of the school year when we've redeveloped all of our skills. We've gone even further, because the idea is that you're never stagnant and every year you keep growing on skills. So it's kind of a spiralized thing. Mm-hmm. And not every school does huge community things, but I think one thing that Dave Shaw and I agree on is that music and art with a capital A make us better. Mm-hmm. And we can't be islands to ourselves. That if we want a strong community, we have to have strong music and art in our community. The best societies in history, we have music and art and dance from them. The thriving cultures incorporate art and that expression and that freedom of expression, and it's really truly a way for everyone to experience freedom together when they are participating in art together.
Now, I know, the idea of working together and collaborating it's really ingrained in the strategic plan, but it seems, also there's a structure of the school year, right? So your students are ready, you do a choir concert. Mr. Shaw's Students Ready. He does an orchestral concert. The art, the visual art department is done with their projects. They have an art show. This is all three things put together on top of it with alumni. And how did you come to that collaboration?
It was a vision. And I asked lots of people. And I think last year's Music to Move Us Forward concert made me pretty bold in that I asked and I didn't get a no, so I might as well ask again. Mm. There is still, Mr. Shaw and I are still sitting with lots of post-it notes about different days that we can meet and try to pull all of our kids together. And we're still communicating with the PAC about when is the stage open, when can we practice with the software, can I get a computer from district office that is just for the software so nothing bad happens on the day. There's a lot of moving parts that are still happening. And then we threw in a trip to Nashville in the middle of all of this too.
No break there.
We did take our first movement to Vanderbilt College so that the students could have a clinic on it. So we tried to get movement one pretty set to go because this is a world premiere. And we've told our students, if Zachary Moore is going to be able to have a demo tape with demo tape, a demo recording with his piece, it's us. And if we're not good enough, we've let him down too. So there's a, this is a world premiere. It is a big, big deal that other schools are going to do too. They're going to want to see where it started, where it originated, what the first time was. So there's a lot of pressure on the students to do this well. This is the second half of the concert. So the first half of the concert, each group is going to perform two pieces, and then we'll have an intermission, and then the second half is going to be this big.
It's like a culmination.
Yes.
So that paradigm that I mentioned about the orchestra and the choir, you get to focus on the work that you specifically did.
And the art gallery. So we all have our individual elements yet and our own identities, but then the third movement is bringing it together to show what this does, what art can do for us, and how it can change lives and change communities and make things and places and people better.
The composer, we kind of rushed by that a little bit. Where did you hear from him? Who is he? Tell our listeners.
Zachary Moore is a Wisconsin composer. So he did teach, and I don't know which Waukesha school it was, he did work for UW-Eau Claire. We performed one of his pieces, Always Keep This Close, just this past December. So he's a composer that is up and coming. He works for Hal Leonard, but he's based in Wisconsin. He was a Wisconsin teacher. He comes to Wisconsin Choral Directors Association conferences. And our accompanist, Steve Joyle, when I'm looking for composers, the person who accompanies for solo and ensemble in many of our concerts said, I know Zachary Moore would probably do this for you. And work with you. And my goodness, what a good choice we made. There's so many beautiful moments in each of these pieces. There's a lot of smart writing when he orchestrates it and puts things into the clarinets or the flutes or the cellos, the timpani rolls, things that he's done. He's tailored it to our group for who we have as players. And the way he sets all of the text alive is just beautiful. Altos are so happy with him because usually altos sing about two notes, maybe three, and they have gorgeous lines throughout the movements. So we are so fortunate that he worked with us. He has rewritten things, sent new stuff. So we're in constant, he and I are in constant communication about poetry and what we're going to do. Is this working for the band and orchestra? What does the choir think about this? Can I change this note over here? Because he's still perfecting things as we go. So it's our scores are not set. They're still a living document that might change a little bit every now and then. But he is phenomenal. And many more of his pieces are actually performed at regional and now national choral directors, big choirs. Because he's really... I think he's going to end up being a very prominent, and he's already starting to become a very prominent composer. So we're just over the moon that he said yes and is working with us and doing this project with us. He's just phenomenal. He did a video for the art students describing his composing process and what he's envisioning for Movement 3 to help them as they're creating art for the movement, so they can feel where he's at, why he's writing this, what he thinks the poetry means, and then they can use that in creating their artwork for the movement. So
it sounds like this might have started with Genevieve's poem. Is that right? Or how did those... Genevieve was one of your students last year.
Yes.
Right? So how did that
part... last spring, Margaret Rosga came, and we took all of the poetry band, choir, and orchestra students. Margaret Rosga came to work with all of us. And we put it in a document, sent it to her. She kind of vetted some stuff. Genevieve's poem actually wasn't one of the little prompts. She just ended up writing this poem that she submitted to, that went with. And then Margaret Rosga kind of whittled it down, said, these are the things, here's why I think these would be good. This is, let's polish a few of these things here and there. We sent that to Zachary Moore last spring. And then from there, he's like, this text alive stood out to me. I need this poem. None of it really spoke to us for Movement 3 or Movement 2. So he went and said, here are some free poems that we can use. He didn't tell us who the composers were. Our students have a close affinity to James Weldon Johnson because they love Lift Every Voice and Sing. And so we picked Before a Painting and then found out that it's this poet that we absolutely adore, which we didn't know. So we kind of feel like there's a little bit of talk about divine and divinity within Before a Painting, and we thought it was meant to be. The students and us did. So, and then Movement 2, we had a little bit of hiccup of what we were going to do. We were really struggling with a text, and Zachary Moore and I were Facebook chatting, which we do quite frequently, and I just threw out some lines, and he said, that's it. I think that's it. That has to be it for Movement 2. So we actually have Movement 1 and Movement 3 right now, and Movement 2 took the longest to try to figure out what did we want the text to be. Nothing spoke to him, so he had to choose what can he envision, what is giving him the creativity that is needed to actually write a piece of music for this huge work.
If you had to sequence it.
Got it. If you had to put it into a genre or a style, is it classical work? Is it a jazz piece? What would you say? Like, what should people expect?
Classical in the sense of not 1700 to 1750 classical, but classical as in contemporary, big, large orchestral with a choir singing work. So think a little bit more like Beethoven's Ninth Symphony, but in the 21st century.
True contemporary work.
Yes. There will be body percussion and some movement during Movement 2, so that'll be kind of new age. Mm-hmm. And then Movement 3, still kind of that orchestral work, but because of some of the text, he sets the beginning and it sounds more chant-like. Da 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 da, ya da 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 da. And then Movement 3 is amazing. There's part of the text talks about the orate glory and watching like sunbeams coming through a cathedral window. And the sopranos and the basses and the tenors and the altos all have the dee 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 dee. So it sounds like the sunlight streaming through these windows, but it also sounds like all of the bells that ring in England every time that there's a coronation or a wedding. It sounds like church bells are ringing, and that's just the text painting that he's done is incredible. So there's a lot. We'll have a write-up for everyone who comes to the concert to understand what Movement 1, Movement 2, and Movement 3 really are and how that's connected as a whole. And then there's a little bit of a tag at the end that'll just sum up all three movements together and what we're envisioning and taking this art to bring us forward into a better day.
Hmm. Okay, so that sounds like a really nice place to end. So tell us when it is and where it is.
It is May 17th and 18th. So there will be two concerts. May 17th will be at 7 p.m. May 18th will be at 2 p.m. And the composer said that he would most likely be able to be at the 2 p.m. concert on May 18th. So it's the same concert.
But not twice, there. So that,
I know. It's a world premiere, and the composer is coming. And Margaret Rosga said she would be there. So it's a huge, huge event. There are lots of sponsors. The Cole Foundation is helping to sponsor this with the scholarship that they awarded us last year. And the PAC has been very helpful. The PAC Council has been very helpful in doing...
Oh, that was the Educator Award, right? That you...
Yes, that was the Cole. Sure. Yes. Yep. So that is what... They said, what do you want to do with this? I know. that won't cover everything, but the SMPAC Council has stepped in to help cover some stuff, and we have parents and the SMMPA who will come and do it. So May 17th is a Saturday at 7 p.m., Sunday, May 18th at 2 p.m., and it's going to end this 20th anniversary of music and art and what it does and how it can make our community stronger and a better place to be.
And I lied, I do have one more question.
Yes.
The impact that doing such a large thing has on your students, what do you think it's going to mean for them?
I probably will not have a dry eye, and I don't think they will either, because they understand this is a world premiere. This is a big thing. Someone is writing music for us. They're using our words. And they're using our art, and they're making something beautiful out of things that we've done. And I really think that they realize that it doesn't have to stop at someone doing it for me. I can do it for myself, too. I can make art and make things and places and communities beautiful, too. And I think that is going to have a big impact on them, and we're doing it together. We're doing it as an entire music ensemble. We're doing it in collaboration with the art. We're doing it with our dancers who have a lot of skills in the classroom that I don't have. So making beauty together and changing lives together. There's a line in the first movement, Alive. We come together changing lives, our hearts beating as one. And that's what will happen. That's the idea of unity. Arts are unifying. If we want better spaces, if we want better places, if we want better communities, the arts have to be center in that to unify. And the whole work is called One Art.
Well, that's our episode. I want to thank you for listening to the SMY podcast. And thanks again to Amy Swanson for taking time in a busy week. Right after we said goodbye, she ran over to the middle school to cover a class. So we took her prep time. So thank you, Amy. This is SMY Podcast. We will see you next time.